Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to today's webinar on U.S. Scholar Distinguished Chair Opportunities with the Fulbright Scholar Program. My name is Michelle Valorti, and I'm joined by my colleague Peter Rauchy in the New York office, and we work in the outreach and recruitment team at the Institute of International Education. The Fulbright Program, just to give a little background before we go into the details of the Distinguished Chair Awards, the Fulbright Program has been around since 1946, and this was Senator Fulbright's initiative to strengthen relationships between countries and people through collaboration and research and educational opportunities. It's sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, specifically the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it's administered by the Institute of International Education. And we have been administering the Fulbright Program both for students and scholars since the inception. And so we're really happy to be celebrating the 72nd year of the Fulbright Program and really all the different ways the program has evolved. As you can see in the picture on the left-hand side, one of our first scholars to Burma, that was in 1960. And then on the right-hand side, a picture from one of our newer programs called the Fulbright Arctic Initiative. And so you can really just see how the program has evolved to capture different trends and themes that are relevant today and also spearhead projects that are innovative and collaborative around the world. Before we continue with the webinar, I just want to make this clear that this is for U.S. scholars who are citizens, and if you are a student who's interested in opportunities, we do have webinars for students, and you should visit the Fulbright Student Program website. Okay, so in terms of numbers, we like to share kind of some of the highlights, and the Fulbright, in terms of the foreign and U.S. side of the program, has reached out to over 380,000 grantees. So over the last 72 years, almost 400,000 people have taken part in the Fulbright program. Specifically from this program, the U.S. scholar side, we send about 800 scholars every year. And in total, we have 160 participating countries. If you receive a Fulbright grant, you are in very good company. We've had several heads of state as alumni, Nobel laureates, Pulitzer Prize winners, two this year. Along with MacArthur Fellows and Presidential Medal of Freedom recipients. So if you receive a Fulbright, you're in certainly good company, and it is a very prestigious program offered by the U.S. government for collaborative research and teaching. Okay, so specifically today we're speaking about the core options, but we also have a program for international education administrators, and those are the seminars, the IEA seminars, and you can see they make up about 10% of the program, whereas the majority of the program, 90%, are devoted to the teaching and research awards that make up the core U.S. Scholar Program. So you might hear core, you might hear IEA, and that's what that means. So as I mentioned, this program is for U.S. citizens based in the United States. And in terms of the other eligibility requirements, it really depends on the award. Now, specifically today, we're highlighting Distinguished Chair Awards, so those certainly are geared towards academics that have a distinguished background and a PhD, but there are several awards available in the catalog that do not require a PhD or a terminal degree. Many are open to master's degree holders that have, you know, several years of experience, professionals and artists, et cetera. So really it's important to take a look at the award requirements. They vary from award to award and country to country. And in terms of the policies, if you've already received a Fulbright in the past, we want to let you know that there are no lifetime caps. That is removed. So you're more than welcome to apply for another Fulbright. We just ask that there's a two-year waiting period between the time that you complete a grant and the time that you apply for one. So if you completed one in August of, or in September, let's say, of 2016, you would not be able to apply for this year, the August 1st deadline. You'd have to wait till the next competition. Okay, so about this program, a little more detail. So these grants that we're going to be discussing today promote teaching and research. And typically the minimum is 3 months, but we do have grants that go up to 12 months. The Scholar Program is active in over 125 countries. You can see we're going to be going region by region and highlighting some awards. And a lot of awards, several awards, more than half in the catalog, are open to all disciplines. So if you're not able to find something that is that perfectly aligns with your discipline, you're more than welcome to apply for an all-disciplines award. The deadline this year is August 1st, and other than universities, scholars are welcome to affiliate with research centers, think tanks, NGOs, but that depends on the award requirements and details. But there are several affiliations usually available. And just to point out the little diagram here in terms of what scholars, you know, what the trend is in terms of teaching or research, you can see that there's really no one way to do a Fulbright. You can do strictly teaching, you can combine teaching and research, or you can propose a project that's just based on research. So really it depends on what the award is looking for. Several awards are open to all three of these, and it's up to you to determine what would be best for your project. Okay, so in terms of selecting the right award, there's a lot of importance on this because you can actually only apply for one award per competition cycle. So really selecting the right award is kind of half of the battle, so to speak. The key is to match your experience and your background with the award description. So not only your profile, but your project as well. So really kind of finding the best fit among the 471 awards available in the catalog. So things to consider would be any regional experience you have, any language ability that might point you in the direction of a particular country or countries. And then also looking at the disciplines preferred. So for example, if it's an all disciplines award, but they prefer political science, public administration, and sociology, then and you have one of those backgrounds, you might want to consider that. Another key thing to consider is the relevance of your project to that particular country and that host institution. Does it make sense? Is it a good fit? Is it a good match? And then also looking to see what, you know, what type of scholar they're looking for. So specifically today we're speaking of the Distinguished Chair Awards. So but some awards are also open to early career applicants or postdocs. So specifically today we're looking at more senior scholars, but there are several opportunities and the award will indicate which profile they're seeking. Okay, so in terms of the Distinguished Chair Awards, out of the 471 awards in the catalog, there are over 40 Distinguished Chair opportunities around the world. Now, Distinguished Chair Awards are viewed as one of the most prestigious appointments within the Fulbright Scholar Program. So candidates should be eminent scholars and have a significant publication and teaching record. So the teaching component is also important because the vast majority of the Distinguished Chair Awards involve some kind of teaching at either the, you know, doctorate level, the graduate level, or, you know, advising doctorate students. So there's the teaching component's really important. And then, of course, having a publication record that indicates you being an expert in the field of your research. So in terms of the requirements, you need to take a look at each award, what profile they're looking for. Oftentimes it'll say associate or full professor rank. They'll stipulate how many years of teaching experience are required. And for some awards, the teaching may or may not. Usually in Fulbright, the teaching is in English, but for example, the award to France, if the applicant has French language ability, they may determine that you teach the class in French. So there's those things to watch out for. And what we're going to be doing is, after I do a little demonstration of navigating through the catalog of awards, we're going to go world region at a time and highlight some of the Distinguished Chair opportunities and kind of the different requirements and nuances of each award, because each award is different depending on the partner university, the host country, et cetera. So there are several things to look out for. So if we can go over to the website, and we're right here. So right now I'm on the catalog of awards. You'll see our main page is cis.org, and then if you click on that, you'll get to the catalog of awards. So looking right here, I'm just going to click on all awards so that we can see just what the main page would look like. It's 473. So we have 473 awards. So it looks like there were two additional awards as of last week. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to category here, and I'm going to filter for the distinguished chair. And then it's going to pull up the 44 awards that we have, and I'm going to go to the list view. And you can see it's alphabetical by country. So, for example, we can click on this one here to Brazil. This is the Distinguished Chair in International Relations at the University of Sao Paulo. We can see what exactly they would like of the scholar, what they're looking for, the number of grants, the activity. So it looks like it's open to teaching and research and research. So all three. So it's up to the scholar to determine what they would like to do. It's a four-month grant, and we can see the dates for when they prefer the grant begins. It does have the flex option, and I'll be going into what that is. And then we can click on the award requirements and see that actually, in this case, a letter of invitation should not be sought. So the vast majority of awards in the catalog require or state as optional the letter of invitation. So this is one of the rare awards where you should not contact the host institution. They also mention the language requirements, that all activities will be in English. This is open to academics only. And then they do give you some contacts here. The link to the commission and the two professors at the institute. Program staff, contact is here, so my colleague Peter Rauchi works with Brazil, so if you have any questions, you can reach out to him. His phone and email are listed there. And then you can also see the stipend, what that is, and any other special benefits. So if there's a regional travel grant, which there is in this case, can find out more information about that, and then get the country overview. So the catalog of awards is a great way to start looking at what options are available for you. It's very easy to navigate. You can search by grant length. If you only have 3 months, you can type that in. You can search by discipline. So there's different ways to narrow it down from the 44 awards. You can also go directly to the country or type in a keyword like entrepreneurship or, you know, conflict management, things like that. So let's go back to the PowerPoint and where we left off. And I'm going to start with the awards to Europe and Eurasia. So the first one that I'd like to highlight is the award to Austria at the top, the Fulbright Catherine and Craig Hull Distinguished Chair for Entrepreneurship in Central Europe at Vienna University. This is an interesting award because it allows you not only to be affiliated with Vienna University, but with another host university in Central Europe. And so the award requires you to teach two courses at Vienna and one course at the other host institution. And the award is really designed to address a broad section of issues associated with entrepreneurship. And specifically, they're looking for scholars who have experience in entrepreneurial strategies and startups, marketing, private-public partnerships, and kind of economic and social entrepreneurship. So this is a wonderful opportunity to engage not only with Vienna University, the Economics and Business Department, but also another host university in Central Europe. So the exposure is great for this award. I won't go through all of them on the list, but another one I wanted to highlight is the Fulbright Nazareth University Distinguished Chair in Social Studies. And this award asks the scholar to teach two courses per week at the undergrad or graduate level and also consult on curriculum development. So you'll notice a lot of the Distinguished Chair awards, they're very open to having chairs give their input on curriculum development and kind of spearhead those kind of initiatives. And of course, then you can research as well. So this is a teaching and research option. at Masaryk University in the Czech Republic, very distinguished university. The other one I'd like to highlight is the Fulbright Tocqueville Distinguished Chair. This is a wonderful six-month opportunity to affiliate with a French university of your choice, so it needs to be an appropriate institution, and to teach and participate in conferences and interact with French graduate and doctoral students. Now, in this case, a letter of invitation is not required, but they do require the host institution to fill out a form on your behalf. And so that is available if you click on the award. And if you'd like to see this presentation for all of the links that we have, we will be archiving it. So everything that you see here can be clicked on, and you can go straight to that award. By clicking on the award, you'll get the contact to get the form that needs to be filled out from the Franco-American Commission's website. In terms of the teaching language, as I mentioned, in this case, it does need to be determined with the institution. And if you are conducting research, French language skills need to be, the evidence of that needs to be provided that it's commensurate with the project's requirements. So that is a wonderful opportunity, the Distinguished Chair Award to France, the Fulbright Tocqueville. And then lastly, the award to Russia, the Distinguished Chair in Sustainable Development. So for experts that are involved in sustainable development, this is a great opportunity to be affiliated with the Higher School of Economics in Moscow at the Faculty of Law. And it's a teaching grant, so there's no research involved. This is strictly a teaching grant. They ask you to teach one course per semester, and they provide a list of the possible courses and titles that you could do. And so this is just kind of a highlight of the award specifically in Europe, Eurasia. And I'm going to pass it on to my colleague Peter Rauchy to discuss the awards to the United Kingdom.
Thanks so much, Michelle. So continuing our global highlight of Distinguished Chair Awards, we want to move to the UK. You can see that there are a number of Distinguished Chair Awards in the UK. For the purposes of this webinar, I'll only highlight a few of the awards on each slide, but I think it's helpful for you to get a sense of the kinds of things and the kinds of variety that the Distinguished Chair Awards are looking for. So I want to talk about the award to the Distinguished Chair, University of Birmingham Distinguished Chair. This is an all disciplines award. So this award is really open to all disciplines. So you'll see a variety of kinds of awards. Some are open to all disciplines, others are very focused on a particular discipline, and then some all discipline awards have preferred specializations. So for this Birmingham award, this award really is open to all disciplines. There is one grant available, and this is a six-month grant. This award supports projects that feature just research or a combination of teaching and research. I also want to highlight the Fulbright University of Manchester Distinguished Chair Award. So this award is at the University of Manchester. This award supports projects that feature a combination of teaching and research. For this award, you can't just do research, you can't just teach, you must do a combination of teaching and research. This award has pretty open-ended specializations, but they're looking for specializations that would fit into the Faculty of Humanities at the University of Manchester. So if there's an alignment with a department or a professor at the University of Manchester with your own research, with your own work, that's a good way to start the discussion. This award does require a letter of invitation, but in the award description, there is contact information and resources for you so that you can reach out if you don't have a contact at the University of Manchester already. So moving on, I want to focus on some awards in Northern Europe. So the first one I want to highlight, and you can see there are a lot of awards in Northern Europe, Scandinavia, the Nordic countries. The first one I want to highlight is the Danish Distinguished Chair in American Studies. So this award is focused at the Center for American Studies at the University of Southern Denmark. Applications are sought for disciplines including American history, American literature, and American studies. Specializations can include things like history, pop culture, politics, economics, and business history. And this award also supports only projects that feature both teaching and research. For this award, a letter of invitation is required, but you're given contact information at the institution, the University of Southern Denmark, in the actual award requirements tab of the award description. The next award I want to highlight is the Fulbright Nokia Distinguished Chair in Information and Communications Technology in Finland. So this award is a 3 to 9 month grant, and it's really focused on projects that touch on disciplines like communications, computer science, engineering, and information sciences. Really looking at specializations that include data science, electronics, electrical engineering, computer science, information and communication science technologies. This award is really a great way to look at sort of emerging technologies and from these perspectives, and it gives you the opportunity to really affiliate with a Finnish institution. So this is a bit more open-ended, and there's information in the award description about potential host institutions. This award does require a letter of invitation from a Finnish institution of higher education, and the letter in the award description there's details around what the letter should include. So this should include in the letter what you're planning to teach, what you're planning to research, also details of housing, the length and dates of your proposed visit. So there are a lot of details that are required in the letter of invitation for this award. The next award I want to focus on is the Fulbright Arctic Chair in Norway. So this is a really special award because of the focus area having to do with the Arctic. So this applications are really sought in all disciplines for this award, but the focus is of the Arctic. So your discipline can be the natural sciences, but this award is open to folks in the social sciences and the humanities, and how these disciplines impact the populations, the demographics, and other considerations of the Arctic. So this is a really great open-ended award, but again, even if you're not in the natural sciences, for example, you might assume the Arctic, they're looking for environmental scientists or what have you. This award is open to the social sciences and humanities as well as the natural sciences. This award features one grant, and it's also an award that focuses on teaching and research. So you do have to have you have to propose a project that does both. You do need an invitation letter for this award. In this award, you'll actually see language requirements. All teaching and research can be done in English. So, you want to pay attention to language requirements in general with the Fulbright program. In many cases for Distinguished Chair Awards, you can conduct all activities in English, but in many cases there are specific language requirements. For Norway, all activities can be done in English. One note, though, we do look at feasibility in your project statement. So even in a situation where teaching can be done in English, if you're designing research that requires knowledge of another language and you don't have that, you should have a way of addressing that in your proposal. Feasibility is one of the main criteria that we look at when we consider awards, when we consider proposals, rather. So it's really something that you want to, you really want to focus on that and make sure that you're proposing something that you can convincingly accomplish. So I want to move to the Western Hemisphere and focus on some of the awards open in the Western Hemisphere. So we can see there are 4 awards to Brazil, 1 award to Canada, and 1 award to Colombia that fall under the rubric of Distinguished Chair. a new award that was actually recently launched in the catalog. So our competition started on March 1st, but a new award launched in Brazil, the Fulbright Distinguished Chair in American Studies at the Federal University of Minas Gerais. This award has one grant. It supports projects in teaching and research, and is looking for projects that focus on disciplines such as American literature and American studies. Specializations can include American politics, political thought, U.S. foreign policy, American law, and legal institutions. Under award requirements for this award, a letter of invitation should not be sought. So you should not seek a letter of invitation, but we give a contact at the Federal University of Minas Gerais, in the award description. For this award, no particular language requirements are stated. All activities can be done in English. The next award I want to focus on in the Western Hemisphere, I want to jump a little bit to Canada. So Canada has a new award this year. This award was not available previously, but the Fulbright Canada Distinguished Research Chairs at Carleton University. Carleton University is located in Ottawa, Ontario, and this award, you have the opportunity to affiliate with one of four departments at the University of Carleton. So there's an award that focuses on social sciences in Canada and North America, with preferred specializations including cognitive science, psychology, linguistics, philosophy, geography, the digital humanities. There's an award at Carleton, there's a grant under this award focusing on entrepreneurship at Carleton University and focusing on specializations including marketing, startups, entrepreneurial strategies, and other things related to entrepreneurship at large. There's also a focus on environmental science at Carleton University, so conservation science, evidence-based environmental management, water, restoration, sustainability. These are focus areas under that aspect of this award. And then lastly, there's a focus on public affairs in North America. So looking at things like political economy, health policy, intellectual property. So under this award in Canada, there are multiple opportunities, and you would affiliate with one of the departments at Carleton University that's most relevant to your work. This award in Canada does not require you to have a letter of invitation, but if you we do encourage you to be in touch with Carleton University to discuss your research interests. If you don't have a contact at Carleton University, we have contact information for the Canadian Fulbright Commission written into the award description, so you are able to contact Fulbright Canada to help you get in touch with Carleton University. I also want to talk about the award in Colombia, the Universidad Nacional de Colombia Distinguished Chair in Biodiversity and Sustainable Development. So for this award, there's one grant available, and this award supports either just research or a combination of teaching and research. This award is for 4 to 6 months, and this award does offer a flex option, meaning that you don't have to be away for the entire 4 to 6 months. It is possible to segment your grant into multiple visits, and there's details written into the award description on how that should be structured. This award has there are a number of preferred disciplines for this award. It's pretty vast, but you want to make sure that the project that you're proposing fits into one of these disciplines. And they include agriculture, anthropology, engineering, but also things like education, economics, non-U.S. history, political science. There's actually a wide variety of disciplines in this award. Under this award description, a letter of invitation is required, and if you don't have contact, we list potential sources, certainly the Fulbright Commission in Colombia, but there's other information written into the award description. This the Universidad Nacional de Colombia does not require a fluent Spanish speaker, although you want to make sure that your grant activity aligns with your level of Spanish. So this is something that you'll want to also address in the letter of invitation, essentially having Universidad Nacional de Colombia confirm that you have the adequate or you have the commensurate level of Spanish to accomplish the activities that you're proposing. So with that, I want to hand it back to Michelle to talk about opportunities in East Asia Pacific and South Central Asia.
Thanks, Peter. Okay, so the opportunities in East Asia and the Pacific, as well as South and Central Asia, are listed here. And I just wanted to highlight the award to Australia, the Fulbright Distinguished Chair in Advanced Science and Technology at the Defense Science and Technology Institute, the group there. And this is the host institution is not a university, it's the DST, the Defense Science and Technology Group, and it's Australia's leading government agency that is responsible for applying science and technology to safeguard the country's national interests. And so this is the largest employer of scientists and engineers in the country, so it's a wonderful place to be a Fulbright Scholar and spearhead research and contribute to research for defense and national security. The contact for the letter of invitation and to get more information about whether your project would be of interest is listed in the award description, so you can find out more about that, but it's a wonderful opportunity to go to Australia and do some research on that. The other one I'd like to point out, if we jump down, Australia has several awards, as you can see. And then the other one that I'd like to discuss is the one to China, the Fulbright Distinguished Chair in the Social Sciences. This is a 10-month grant to China, and the preferred disciplines are economics, environmental sciences, public administration, public and global health, and sociology. Specifically, they're interested in scholars with a background in global climate change, sustainability, public health, food security, and agricultural and disaster preparedness. So those are kind of the themes of interest. And the great thing about this award is it includes an in-country travel allowance for the scholar to guest lecture at other universities in China to really have that exposure as a scholar under the auspices of the Fulbright program. So a wonderful opportunity to go to China. And then the award to Korea is a teaching grant, the distinguished chair at the distinguished lectureship at Yonsei University. So there's two potential hosts for this award. One is the Seoul campus at Yonsei University or the international campus in Incheon. So they're really just two cities that are right next to each other. So those options are there. And the grant is to teach two courses per semester and give public lectures and also carry out joint research as it pertains to the department. And then lastly, in the South and Central Asia region, we have the award to India, so the Fulbright Nehru Distinguished Chair. Now, this award is open to all disciplines, and there are two grants for this, and you can do teaching or a combination of teaching and research. This award, really, the emphasis is on really contributing and kind of building capacity in the department where you're placed or where you choose to work with in terms of career development, curriculum development, advising doctoral students, giving special lectures and workshops. So again, really kind of working as the distinguished chair in that department. And there is also an in-country travel allowance to guest lecture across the country. So that's in addition to the regional travel grant that all scholars to India can apply for. So this is just kind of an overview of all of the regional awards that fall under Distinguished Chair grants. What we're going to do now is we're going to move on and kind of discuss how you can apply and make a competitive application. So Peter, I'll turn it over to you if you want to take over and discuss how they can select the right Fulbright.
Thanks, Michelle. So we've been discussing a lot, and as you can see, there are a lot of parameters you want to pay attention to when selecting the right award. On this slide, though, I really want to focus on some considerations you may not have had about how Fulbright might be able to work for you. I really want to encourage people not to self-select out of the Fulbright program, and these considerations may help you find an award that's right for you. So one of the considerations is the flex option. This allows multiple visits over 2 years. This option, it's a grant structure that's available in about 63 countries and 2 different world areas. It's not open to every single award, but many awards do offer a flex option. Some of the Distinguished Chair Awards in Finland, for example, offer a flex option. Some of the Distinguished Awards in the Western Hemisphere also offer a flex option. So you really want to pay attention to that. You can even search our catalog under grant link. You can search for awards that offer the flex option. So this is great for folks who can't take a whole year or a whole semester off. You may be able to fit a flex grant into your schedule. Then throughout the catalog, we have awards available for folks throughout the life cycle of their careers, all the way from postdoc up to Distinguished Chair. Most of our 473 awards are to go to one country, but there are several awards that offer the opportunity for multi-country projects. One of them is the Global Scholar Award. This award has 20 grants, meaning that 20 people can be funded under the Global Scholar Award, and you have to go to 2 or 3 different countries in at least 2 different world regions. So if you have a compelling project that can take you to 2 or 3 different countries in 2 different world regions, the Global Scholar Award might be an option for you. Though keep in mind, the majority of our 473 awards are to go to one country. Aggregately throughout the catalog, home affiliation is not necessarily required. Some awards do require it, some do not. You'll want to check in the award descriptions, but certainly throughout the catalog we have awards that are open to artists, practitioners outside of academia, independent scholars, scholars emeritus, and people from all different aspects of their careers. So I want to point out, before we dive into the actual application components, I want to point out that we have a robust set of application resources. I won't spend too much time on this slide, but I just want you to know that when you're applying for a Fulbright Scholar Grant, you are not alone. There are so many resources on our website. We break down every aspect of the application. We even provide things like sample project statements. Certainly gives many levels of application guidance, breaking down every component of the application. We have a very robust series of webinars that focus on all manner of different topics, including specific countries or regions sometimes, specific disciplines, and other considerations like this very webinar, which is focused on Distinguished Chair Awards. We also have the Fulbright Scholar blog, which is a great way to get inspiration. Look at what folks have done on their Fulbrights. What is it like to bring your family to a certain country, or what is it like to do a certain kind of research in a different world region? There are great stories on our blog that can really help sort of round out and humanize the experience, and hopefully will inspire you. Then last but not least, certainly we have My Fulbright, which is CIES2.org. That is a way for you to sign up to receive information about our awards. You can indicate if you have particular countries of interest, particular regions, particular disciplines, and that way you can receive segmented messaging about all different manner of Fulbright news. So let's get into the application. The application really isn't something you haven't seen before. You're absolutely familiar with every aspect of the application. There's an application form and then the project statement. The project statement is anywhere from 3 to 5 pages, and that's sort of outlining what you're proposing to do. I'll talk a little bit more about the project statement in the next slide. We do want a CV resume. Generally will take up to 6 pages, but for Distinguished Chair Awards will take up to 8 pages. We want 3 letters of reference. These should be strong advocates for you, people that know you, that know your work, and understand how that work fits into the Fulbright program. Then depending on the award, there will be additional sort of baseline components, things like course outlines or syllabi for teaching awards. So if your project involves teaching, you'll want 2 to 3 syllabi up to 10 pages. These can be classes you have taught, classes you hope to teach, or a combination of them, really for us to get a sense of what your pedagogy is, what your style of teaching is. If you're applying for a project that involves research, we'll want a bibliography. We refer to it as a bibliography, but you can really think of it as a literature review. It's really up to 3 pages of the work relevant to your project. We want to get a sense that you're aware of the state-of-the-art work that, as it relates to your project. This can be an annotated bibliography. It does not have to be. As we saw, there are varying language requirements in the awards. Many awards, English is fine, but for awards that do require a language proficiency report, that's a simple component of our application. There are 2 phases to that. There's a self-evaluation, where you evaluate yourself, and then there is an external evaluation where you get someone who is qualified to teach that language to non-native speakers of that language. So this can be a language professor, the head of a language department, really anyone that's qualified to teach that language to non-native speakers of that language. Then, as we saw, many of our awards require letters of invitation. Many of our awards do not, so you'll really want to pay attention to that and see if a letter of invitation is required, if it's preferred, or as in the case of some of our awards where they actually tell you do not seek a letter of invitation. But a letter of invitation is essentially a non-binding agreement from the host institution that is essentially inviting you, you know, showing that they're interested in hosting you for your activities. If you're applying in the arts, architecture, writing, journalism, anything where we might expect a work sample, you can upload a work sample into the application. Now, I want to sit with the project statement a little bit and sort of unpack the considerations that make a strong project statement. So we really look at the quality of applications, but we also look at feasibility and we look at the potential outcomes. So we want to get a sense of you know, what it is you want to do, but also a sense of what your plan is to accomplish this. We also want you to touch on things like, you know, why are you applying for this country? Why are you applying for this institution? What is it that makes sense, or where is the resonance? Where is the congruence with you know, what you're hoping to do and the potential host institution or the potential host country? We really want to get a sense of what your game plan is. What do you want to do? What do you want to teach? What are the methods and the goals of your research? And what are the outcomes of your grant? How will this be beneficial for you, certainly academically and professionally, but also how this will be impactful for your home institution, for your host institution, for the United States and your host country. So these are really, you know, broad parameters, but you want to make sure that your proposal addresses this. You want to give us a sense that you have a game plan to accomplish your activities. One thing I do want to bring up, and we'll talk about the selection process in just a moment, but we have a 2-phase peer review process, which is the initial review of applications. You are read by a committee that is focused on the discipline of your project, but then you're also read by a committee that is focused on the country or the region to which you are applying. What this should tell you is that you have to write a project statement that is going to be read by different audiences. So you absolutely want to give a sense that you're up to date and up to speed with your discipline, but you also want to write an application that wouldn't confuse a generalist. So that's something to keep in mind. And one thing we always recommend is if you can get feedback from your colleagues both in your discipline and outside of your discipline, that sort of replicates our peer review process to some extent. And that way, you know, if you're an electrical engineer and your colleague is a professor of English literature and your colleague in English lit is sort of confused by, you know, too much discipline-specific verbiage, that's a good sign that you may want to revise that a little bit so that a more generalist audience could, you know, really understand that this is a quality project, that you have the tools that you need to accomplish this, and have a sense of what the impact is. So that's really, you know, it's a discussion. There are no sort of easy answers as what makes a good project statement or otherwise, but we do offer some sample project statements on our website. Everyone that has registered for this webinar will receive a set of digital resources when we archive the webinar. But you know, all of this is available on our website. So if you want samples of the project statement, project statement samples, we have that on our website as a great way to sort of wrap your mind around some of the things you may want to include in a project statement. But again, I also want to encourage applicants to get feedback from their colleagues, both in their disciplines and outside of their disciplines. So I want to talk a little bit now about a little bit more about affiliation letters, invitation letters. So letters of invitation, as I mentioned, you know, many of our awards require them, many do not. And then there's every sort of variation on that theme from optional to preferred to strongly preferred. Letters of invitation are non-binding expressions of interest from your proposed host. They should ideally come from the person who will be hosting you and with whom you'll be collaborating. We though recognize that many systems of higher education, you know, a professor from a department may not be able to issue something along the lines of a letter of invitation. It may have to come from, a bureaucratically different part of the university. That's fine. But ideally, it should come from the person with whom you'll be collaborating. And it should be on institution letterhead. We recognize that, there may be limits to what can be put in a letter of invitation. At the bare minimum, there should at least be an alignment. So there should be a connection between what you're proposing to do and what the host institution wants you to do and is excited about you doing at their institution. Then depending on the award, as we saw when we were sort of looking at different award highlights, there may be specific requirements to be written into the letter of invitation around the specific classes that you're teaching, for example, or any sort of language considerations, and this will all be laid out in the award descriptions. But again, as Michelle pointed out when she demonstrated the catalog, at the bare minimum, every award has a team member associated with that award, so you can absolutely reach out to us if you're unsure of some of the nuances of the awards. So I want to talk a little bit more about one of the considerations around a competitive application. Michelle talked about the sort of DNA, the foundation of the Fulbright program, and that's so very important. I think it's really fascinating to learn the history of the Fulbright program, and really that resonates with what makes a strong application today. As a Fulbrighter, you are an ambassador. So it's really about building a mutual understanding between the United States and the people and people from other countries throughout the world. So how does your project fit into that framework? What are the benefits? What are the outcomes that will come from your project that are going to help the United States, that are going to help your host country, et cetera? These are really, really key considerations when you're considering a Fulbright application. We want to look at things like cultural diplomacy, person-to-person diplomacy. How will the work that you do transform or enhance what's happening overseas? What are the outcomes? Is there potential after your grant to maybe host students from that institution at your home institution in the U.S.? Are there future collaborations possible, personal, professional, academic linkages that can be built? Are there aspects that you'll take from teaching abroad that you can bring to your campus to help sort of internationalize the curriculum? So these are key components that you want to be able to articulate in your project statement and throughout your application. We want to get a sense of what your vision is for how this is a mutually beneficial program for all the stakeholders involved, not the least of which yourself. And that's something that makes a strong application is understanding that goal of Fulbright of promoting and increasing mutual understanding. On this next slide, we'll go through a very high-level overview of our review process. The application deadline is August 1st. We go through a technical screening of applications submitted. Then we go into the peer review process where you're read by discipline-specific committees and regional or country-specific committees. We let you know if you've made it through the peer review process. And after the peer review process, those applications that will continue on go to the countries themselves. And the final decisions are made by the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. Generally, you will find out anywhere between February and May of the year after the application deadline. Obviously, with 125 different countries, there is no one single timeline for notifications, but that's a good general rubric for when you might hear about the outcome of your application. And then activities generally can start as early as June of the following year. Before we open the floor to questions and answers, and I know we've covered a lot of information, I want to encourage you to stay in touch with us. There are many ways to do so. Of course, we're represented across all social media platforms. We have a referral initiative where you can refer your colleagues. Our website has lots of information and lots of resources, but we want to encourage you to join my Fulbright, CIES2.org, to indicate any interest that you may have, whether they be country interests or discipline interests. And also be in touch with us directly. Feel free to email us at scholars@iie.org. We are happy to chat with applicants that are interested in knowing more about the program or even folks that are not sure if they want to apply or not. So we really do encourage you to stay in touch with us and you know, ask us any questions that you have. And that being said, we do have a little bit of time to answer the questions that have been chatted in.
Great. So, Peter, I'll take one that I see, and it asks, if you've had a Fulbright in the past, are you less likely to be considered for one in the future? And the answer to that is you're welcome to apply. You're certainly welcome to apply. We've had several grantees go on to do second and third Fulbrights, but you do need to justify why you are applying for a second time. If the projects build upon each other, if you're, you know, continuing in the same field or country. And then to also note that priority is given to applicants who haven't had a Fulbright in the past. So all things being equal, if there's only one grant and, you know, there's two or three, they've narrowed it down between two or three finalists, they will go with the person who hasn't held previous Fulbright grant. So that's something to keep in mind. But again, it's not uncommon for scholars to receive a second Fulbright grant. So that's one thing to keep in mind. You know, especially if you've had the grant, you know, more than 20 years ago, that shouldn't be a problem. If you held it 3 years ago, then they really do want to give a chance to scholars who haven't had a chance. So that's one thing. So in terms of past Fulbrights, the other question we received is, can the award be divided into multiple shorter stays and encompass multiple countries? So specifically with the Distinguished Chair Awards, the vast majority, with the exception of Brazil and Finland, do not have the flex option. So we discussed flex. We hit on that briefly. The flex option is available for several awards in the core program that are not Distinguished Chair, but really the idea of having a Distinguished Chair at a university is to really serve there, you know, for the semester or for whatever duration is listed in the award and really be a point person, you know, building capacity, leading the department, advising, collaborating, et cetera, and they really do want you to be a fixture at the university for that time. So unless it's Brazil or Finland, the plan is that you would be there for the entire duration, whether it's 4 months or 3 months. If you are interested in shorter stays with, you know, going and a chance to go to multiple countries, we do have the Global Scholar Award, which you can search online. And then there is the Fulbright Specialist Program, which is separate from this, and it's administered by World Learning. And the Specialist Program allows you to be on a roster. You apply to be on a roster for 3 years. And if they contact you to, you know, based on your profile, you would get selected for short-term grants of 2 to 6 weeks. So those are very different. They're more consultation-based. the same application that you had, you know, the application that you would use for the specialist program would not be able to be used for the scholar program for the pure fact that the specialist program is really project-focused, consultation-based, and the distinguished chair projects need to be very academic in nature. So to answer that question, Peter, are there any questions that you had coming in that you want to take?
Sure. There's a few questions. One is a great question. I have 30-plus years experience in my field. I received notice from an application to a previous Fulbright. I'm not eligible as I don't hold an active position. I'm still involved in my company, and I'm a certified teacher for my field. I just do not have a home affiliation in the U.S. And why am I not eligible? So that will depend widely on the award to which you applied. Many of our awards do not require a home affiliation in the United States, but some of our awards do, and that'll be written into the award description. That being said, aggregately throughout the catalog, we welcome applicants who are scholars emeritus, who are retired, who are independent scholars. So it's all about finding the award parameters and understanding if you're a match for that or not. So that's something to pay attention to. And I'm happy to follow up with the person that asked that question on a more sort of detailed basis. But in general, again, you want to make sure that you understand the parameters of the award that you're applying to, and that can help you understand if you're a good fit for that or not. If you are unsure of that, feel free to reach out to me, reach out to our teams, rather. I actually answered a question about the Hunkin Distinguished Chair in Business and Economics in Finland, where a law professor actually was unsure if she had the right background for this award because it was focused on business and economics, and she was. But I could see where she might have a question about that. And these are the kinds of things where if you're not sure of the parameters of an award, even if it's written out, feel free to reach out to the team member associated with that award, and we can help you navigate some of these nuances. We had another question about collaborative research. In one of your slides, you had identified collaborative research as another option. Can you describe this option? So collaborative research really does fit into the awards. Most of our awards support either teaching research or a combination of teaching and research. There are a few awards that are focused on professional development projects. There's a very, very few awards that focus on professional development, but most of our awards feature teaching research or some combination of the two. And that will be written into the award description. And collaborative research can generally fit into the research category. Again, though, if you have nuanced questions about that or if a particular award supports more collaborative research or more independent research, these are the kinds of questions you can reach out to us about.
Great. So, Peter, I have a question that came in yesterday, and they're asking, how does the selection criteria for the Distinguished Chair Award differ from the core program award? So, certainly there is a difference. The reviewers see that you're applying for a Distinguished Chair Award. They're going to expect that your CV and your project and all of that really adds up to the profile of a Distinguished Chair. So, in this case, for the Distinguished Chair Awards, we do allow you to submit an 8-page tailored resume. The core awards have a page limit of 6 pages, so we do give a couple extra pages. We realize it is a short, kind of limited number of pages. However, the idea is that you would tailor your CV to just what is relevant for the reviewers to see and in terms of the project. So certainly they are going to look at your publication list, your years of teaching, any awards that you received, those kind of things, and really determine if you are eligible for the Distinguished Chair. So certainly it's a higher level in terms of the awards available. And the other question we had, what are the relative likelihoods of an award of a chair versus a co- Oh, I think the question relates to which one's more competitive or not. So I think that's not really the way to approach it. And I'll give you an example. So for example, with the awards to India, we have an all disciplines award that are, you know, open to early career professionals and all levels of scholars. And then we have the distinguished chair. Now, if you have the qualifications of a distinguished chair, you have 20 years of teaching experience, you have an extensive publication record, you're considered an expert in your field, et cetera, but you apply for the non-distinguished chair award, the committee is going to look at it and say, well, look, why didn't this person apply for the award that is you know, actually a better fit? So the idea is that you really should think about the fit. Are you a good fit for one of these distinguished chair awards versus, oh, I'll apply for a non-chair because there's maybe 5 grants, but the distinguished chair has a fewer number. That's not really the way to think about it, because really a competitive application is one that matches your profile to the award. So you'll be competitive by selecting the correct award.
Now, I want to sort of piggyback on that as well. You know, generally, distinguished chair awards are for folks that are sort of more advanced in their careers, and there are different parameters depending on the award. But something to consider, too, are things that are, you know, the specified disciplines in the awards. So as we saw with some of the UK awards, they're sort of all disciplines open-ended to disciplines across academia, as in the case of the Birmingham Award, whereas the Manchester Award was sort of focused more on the humanities. Then as we got into the Northern Europe, we saw that Denmark was really focused on American studies. So if you're not, if your project doesn't relate to American studies, and you wouldn't really apply to the Distinguished Chair Award in American Studies. Similarly, though, we saw things like the Arctic Chair Award in Norway, which you might self-select out of if you aren't, say, an environmental scientist, but if you're a social scientist, you could absolutely apply to that award and be successful. So it's really understanding the parameters of the awards and how you fit into them. And we see a wide variety of awards, even in the specialized category of Distinguished Chair Awards, where some awards are open-ended, whereas others are, you know, a specific discipline or multiple disciplines. You know, as we saw with Canada, that Distinguished Chair Award at Carleton University, there are options for different disciplines. Some of the Brazil awards are very specific to things like American Studies or International Relations or Public Policy. So there's really a wide variety of what's available. So you just want to pay attention to the parameters of the award, and that's what makes your application, you know, more competitive.
I'd also like to address, going back to the specialist program, we have a question asking, if you apply and are accepted for the Fulbright specialist program, would that affect the date you can apply for the Fulbright scholar program, and would you, again, need to wait for 2 years? So the great thing about the specialist program and the scholar program is that you can apply to them kind of simultaneously, or you could at least, you know, you could be on the roster for the specialist program and apply for a scholar award, as long as, and if you receive both awards, as long as the grant dates don't overlap, and for obvious reasons, you would be able to accept both. So, so that does not affect your eligibility if you are on the specialist roster. And then the other question we had was, can I apply for a Distinguished Chair Award and a CORE Award? And I did mention at the start of the webinar, you may only apply for one award in the Fulbright Scholar Program per competition. So that means you really do need to select the most appropriate award for you, whether it's a chair award or not. And so the deadline is August 1st, so right now is a great time to kind of start thinking about what award would be a good fit for you, because you can only apply for one.
So with that, we are a few minutes after the hour. We want to thank everyone for joining this webinar. We have a few questions that we're going to follow up with folks individually. So if we didn't get to your question, you should hear from us very soon. If you don't hear from us again, feel free to reach out to us. But you know, there are a few questions we'll get to offline. But we really want to thank everyone for attending the webinar. And feel free, again, if you think of something that you didn't chat in or have other questions, feel free to reach out to us. We really want to encourage you to, you know, stay in touch. We look forward to receiving your applications. And with that, I want to thank everyone again, and have a great rest of the day.